Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we are going to talk about the Roses Duel album, just do a real deep dive. And actually, we're going to do something different than what we normally do when we do the deep dives. We typically do them like the entire album, and then like halfway through, we realize, oh, we need to split it in half because it's getting too long. Yeah, we're just going to do half of it first, like just get that out the way. So, you're in for just half of the Roses Duel album, a deep dive. But before we go into the deep dive, we are going to do a review of a K-drama journal that was sent to us by the Korean Babes Tea. Their Instagram will be linked in our description. And we will also post on our Instagram what our journals look like, because we can't do that here because it's a podcast and it's just audio. So head over to our Instagram to see what our journals look like. This journal is really cool. I wish I had it when I first started watching K-dramas, because it would have been really nice to be able to, you know, actually write down my thoughts of each one. And when people ask me like, oh, what did you watch? Did you like it? What's your favorite? I could do that, because this journal has like a library where you can write down all of the dramas that you're watching. You can write down your favorite actors. You do your top dramas, like your all-time favorite dramas. You can do your favorite actresses, quotes that you saw. It has like an OST challenge. And there's 115 like fully hyperlinked pages. And you can reuse this year after year. You don't have to like get a new one, like purchase a new one each year. And it's compatible with iPads, tablets, smartphones, desktop, laptops. And the planner is designed to be used with PDF annotation apps such as GoodNotes, Notably, Excel. And you can also print it at home. So they say that you can take it to like your, you know, your local print shop. You can have an actual journal, which I also think is kind of cool. So yeah, I feel like I want to say so much more, but I really do wish that I had this, like I said before. So the only thing I would say that I wish they would kind of like update, maybe for like a 2.0 version, is in the library, like they have it where you can break it down by like each drama, and you can put your, you can mark off your favorite episodes, and it only goes up to 16. But I wish it kind of went to like 20 or maybe even like 22 or something, because I know the newer dramas that come out, they're more than likely going to be like 8 or 16 episodes. But if you watch some of the older K-dramas, like they're 20, like 20, 22. Some of them were even like 50 episodes long. So it would have been nice to have like the option to do 20, because one of my favorite ones that I have on here, which I feel like I've talked about before, which is Reply 1988. That one goes all the way up to 20 episodes. And like one of my favorite episodes is one of the last ones that are beyond 16. So it would have been nice to have that. But other than that, I think it's really cool. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard for me not to be able to like to discuss this with you guys without being able to show you, but go check out the Instagram post of the journal. So yeah, I've talked a lot. So Melissa, you have anything to add?
So, I mean, the only thing that I really wanted to add was, I think another update that would be nice, or at least clear instructions, would be the K-drama OST challenge. I like the idea of it, which is basically that, you know, you put, you know, a song that you listen to at 3 a.m. you pick a, you put a song that has many meanings to you, and it's like kind of like a big, I don't know, kind of like a map, what is it called, like a I don't know,
like bingo?
Bingo! That's what it is. I couldn't think of the game. But yeah, it's kind of like bingo. But it's kind of strange because there's no place to, there's not a lot of room to actually write down like these types of songs. Mm-hmm. And there's not enough room to like even do like images of like I don't know, maybe dramas that the song was in. So I don't know. I thought that's a little different. But yeah, I love the idea of being able to compile all your favorite dramas or just dramas that you've watched, like you said earlier, into one form. Because I know as someone who hasn't watched a whole lot of dramas, I'm always asking you for like recommendations, and you have to like go back through like your recently watched or like, I don't know, your memory and yeah, try to find which like, isn't that good. Recommendations. Yeah. So, but yes, this is a pretty good tool for something like that. But yeah, that's all.
Yeah, so if you guys are interested in the journal, you guys should go to their Instagram. It's linked in the description and check it out. I think it's well worth it, especially if you watch a lot of K-dramas. But yeah, so all right, time to get into the episode. As always, we love to start with our K-music picks of the week. This week, I chose Loco and Hwasa's Somebody. I just really like the song. It's just chill. And yeah, Melissa, what's yours?
Mine is Easy from Key, or by Key, which was on his second repackage album, Killer. I don't know. That was really, I was trying to remember how I, like, became acquainted with this song. I don't know. It might have been on TikTok. I don't know. But, like, I don't know. I guess because I associate, I don't think I listened to this album. Because I feel like I associate him with more, like, upbeat kind of, like, not EDM, really, but just, like, upbeat kind of pop tracks. And this one, it felt very much like kind of, I don't even know if it's, like, R&B, really. It just felt very vibey. But anyways, it's a really good song. It's a really good song. And it's different from the other types of songs that I've heard him sing as a solo artist. And I really like it. That's all.
Okay, well, those were our K-Music picks of the week. And now let's get into our deep dive of the Roses Duel album. We're going to go over, like I said previously, just the first half of the album. And we're going to start with the first song called Dawn, which was an instrumental. My thoughts on this was that it was peaceful and it felt like the morning and you were waking up because it had like the birds chirping. I don't know. When I close my eyes and think of the song, I just visualize the sun rising. And in comparison to their previous album, Heal, they both open with the instrumental, but the other one on Heal was more like meditation and relax and like kind of almost like putting you in such a peaceful state you want to go to sleep, but this one's like, okay, time to wake up. So yeah, those are my thoughts on Dawn. What are your thoughts, Melissa?
Yeah, I agree that it was very peaceful. I can see how it sounds. To me, it sounded like very hopeful, like, you know, with the, I don't know, just sounded hopeful. And I thought it was a really good segue into the next song that we're going to talk about. Well, I don't know, is it the first song? Okay, anyways, because it's instrumental, so I don't know if I've considered this like a song. But it's a good segue into You're Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Because the music is kind of similar and like the tempo and everything. So yeah, it was nice. Great and nice, a nice peaceful way to introduce an album. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, speaking of You're Beautiful, we're gonna talk about You're Beautiful next. This was one of their pre-release tracks. I believe it was their last pre-release track before the album came out. And so I guess I'm just going to start by giving my thoughts on it. I just want to say I completely fell in love with this song when I first heard it. I thought it was beautiful. I mean, I guess that goes with also the first one. I guess I'm just like dittoing what you're saying about how Dawn was like a good prelude into You're Beautiful because they're both really pretty. And I was thinking, like, going through the lyrics and listening to the song, I could definitely see someone using this as their wedding song or something, because, like, the lyrics just kind of work that way. And so some lyrics that stuck out to me, well, it's more so like I love the whole chorus, but there's like parts that I want to point out from it. I mean, I might as well have just said the entire chorus, but whatever. We're just gonna roll with it because this is how I wrote my notes. But the first part is, beauty's just a state of mind. You don't even have to try. Don't let them tell you otherwise. You're beautiful. I'll tell you why. And I definitely understand that he is talking about a certain person, but I'm going to be talking about this lyric just kind of in general right now. When I first heard it, it gave me the same sentiment as saying, like, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I think it's like there's more to that. I feel like they're saying that, you know, you are in control of what you identify as beautiful, and that like includes yourself. And don't allow others' opinions or like societal pressures or norms to define like your beauty or just beauty in general. And you know, I feel like he goes more into say, like, you know, when it comes to you, you don't have to think about it because you're beautiful. And I don't know, I just really love that. And so yeah, that was just my thought there. And then the next layer that I liked, that was also part of the chorus, was that I love the way that you're designed. And I just think this is a really sweet line, because he's just saying he's just saying he's in love with not only like the person's like physical appearance, but also like their personality and just who they are as a whole. Because, you know, being like design is not just like what colors you use, or like, I don't know, I'm thinking of like an art piece almost. Like, it's not like just the colors or like the like what it like physically looks like, but sometimes it's like the materials too. And I feel like that's also like your personality is the material. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just, yeah, those were just the lyrics that stuck out to me. Just overall, I really love this song. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
I also like the song. I liked the, I thought it was very pretty. I liked the, I think there were, it might have been instruments, honestly, but to me it sounded like ad libs or something in the back. But, I don't know, I liked the, whatever that was, the soft ad libs, or also just like the soft instrumentals in the back. Thought that was really pretty. I liked your interpretation of the chorus part, how like it's not just like about physical beauty, but it's also like about, like, you know, you determine what your, what beauty is like for you. Like, I don't know, I thought that was great. I didn't think about it that deeply, really. But one of the lyrics that I liked was also one of the ones that you picked, was when he said, or when they said, I love the way that you're designed. But yeah, I think basically I liked it for the same reason that you did, but I feel like, I thought of it as like, which is pretty much the same thing, but whatever, I'm just gonna say it. But like, I feel like people are sometimes like insecure about who they are, like as a person, like not just like looks wise, but maybe they're just a little bit different from other people. Maybe they think differently. Maybe they like, I don't know. Like, or maybe they just, you know, are interested in things that other people like are not necessarily interested in. I don't know what I'm saying, but like sometimes people I feel like outside of looks, they're awkward or whatever. And I like that he used the word design, because it encapsulates like more than just like physical look, which is literally what you just said. But I like the fact that they use design basically, because it encapsulates like everything, like outside of like your physical looks. It's about like who you are as a person. And I love that. Okay, well, the other lyric that I chose that you didn't choose was no, there ain't no other, no, there ain't no other but you. And I just really like how that part is repeated, because it just felt like, you know, in case you didn't hear me the first time, or in case you didn't believe me the first time, I'm gonna say it again and again to prove that what I'm saying is, you know, real, and that I actually believe, I'm trying to make you believe that you're the only person for me, I guess. That's how I interpret it. I just like the fact that he kept repeating it, like, you know, like, this is it. So, I don't know. But yeah, just in general, yeah, I really like this song. It's very nice.
I like your interpretation of it, too. I think it's funny that we both kind of had, like, the same idea about the way your design part, which I guess is also a good thing because maybe he's getting his message across if that's the message that they were trying to get across. But, like,
yeah,
I think that's cool. And I also did like how he repeated "there ain't no other" over and over and over again because, like, you know, sometimes you don't believe people when they say it the first time, you go, like, gotta hear it a couple times. So yeah, it's a good song. And for this beautiful song, they also did a music video, which I felt like was very simple, and I don't know where they were. I don't know what country it was, because I know it definitely wasn't Korea or the U.S. So I don't know. I don't know. It felt like, I was going to say, like, a Switzerland or, like, I don't know, like, Ireland. I don't know. It was just really, like, pretty countryside. That's what it looked like. It was just, like, really pretty and grassy, and it just, I don't know, it just really went with what?
I mean, it could have been Korea. Don't they have mountains and stuff?
Yeah, but the houses didn't look like Korean houses. They look like what I usually see when people go, like, when I watch movies. Oh god, here we go. When I watch movies, okay, and they, okay. Because I'm thinking of that movie. What's the movie where, like, the husband dies? He's from Ireland. Or, no, is he Scottish? Maybe Scotland?
What are you talking about?
Okay, anyways. It's a movie, and, like, the husband dies, but he leaves her, like, letters and stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, P.S. Is it P.S. I Love You? Is that the name of it?
Is that with Gerard Butler, the Scottish guy?
Yes.
Probably.
And, like, she ends up there, and she's, okay, and that's what it brought to my head. I think that's why I said that's where they are. I could be completely wrong, and I'm rambling about nothing. But all that to say, I just love the scenery of it all. And it was, like, I don't know, it was just a chill video. They were riding bikes, and I was wondering if they got tired while they were riding the bike, because they were riding it for a very long time. And so, yeah, and that's all I really have to say. I mean, this is... It was just a very simple music video. Are you trying to look it up?
Yeah. It was filmed in Switzerland.
Oh, I was right. I was like, it's giving me, like, Switzerland. I think I'm thinking of, like, a cottage. I think that's what I was, the house type in my head I was thinking about, like, cottage.
Hmm.
Like, that country. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead, Melissa.
Okay. Well, I thought this was a nice music video. I thought it was very carefree, very, like, free-spirited. I loved the wind blowing through their little, not island, I don't know. I like their outfits. And I thought, chill. They just look really chill. Maybe that's what I was meant to say. But, yeah, outside of that, I didn't really pay too much attention to, like, the scenery. I mean, I remember there was blue. I remember there was, like, clouds. But what I did like about the music video was that they all kept kind of, like, staring into the camera. And it felt like they were speaking to you directly.
Mm.
And I thought that just went really well with the lyrics of the song. Like, yeah, that's all. It was a nice music video. It was very chill. Not much there. But that's fine, because I feel like the focus was more so on the feeling and the lyrics.
Also, I just want to say, like, I'm sorry you guys if you hear, like, other people in the background. We're recording this, like, not on a normal day that we would, so, like, everybody's home, and we're all just, like, bopping about trying to, you know, get our lives together for the next day. So, sorry in advance for that. So, now we're gonna move on to the next song. The next song is Nauseous. Personally, this was not my favorite song. I mean, it wasn't a bad song, but it just wasn't my favorite song. But I feel like I will like it better when I see it perform live. I feel like that's just, it's one of those songs that I feel like I need to see live in order to really like it. Hmm. But you agree? Is that why you said that?
I just said,
oh. As far as the lyrics go, though, I'm not sure if this is one of those moments where, like, you know how people will, like, talk trash, but just because, like, they're really not over the person and and they still feel some type of way about them. So, like, they pretend to be, like, all mad and, like, they don't care about them and, like, I don't know, just bitter about it. Or I'm not sure if they actually mean what they say and that's not exactly what it was, but I don't know. It gave me kind of both vibes, though. I was just curious what it would have been about. But two lyrics that stuck out to me was, first was the cinnamon and sugar on your tongue. To me, this lyric just sounded super toxic. Very toxic. Like, it sounds like someone that, like, they might, I don't know if it's just like they might switch up all the time, or like they might say something nice to you one moment, or well, I guess it'd be the other way since it's cinnamon and sugar. So it'd be like something mean to you one moment, then turn around and say something sweet. Because like to me, when I think of cinnamon, it's like kind of spicy, and so like to put the sugar, it's like spicy sweet. You know, that's why it just sounded very toxic to me. And then the second lyric that stuck out to me was spreading rumors, talking about my life. I bet you feel effing special. Tried to bring me down, but I'm alive. Thank you for the recognition. I just really like this just because basically he's saying that like this person really tried to literally take them down by just making all these rumors, but like they really failed. And to him, it's like, you know, by you doing that, you're making me realize that you still have, like, feel some type of way towards me. You still like me. So thanks for, like, still seeing me, kind of. So that's how I hope I explained that right. I feel like I didn't, but I'm going to go with it. And, yeah, so those are just the two lyrics. Mosa, what about yours?
Well, you know, one thing that I would agree with you on is that the song is about someone who's toxic. But I feel like the song itself was kind of, like, generic. I don't know. Not generic. Okay, maybe generic. But, like, it just sounded like a typical pop rock song. And I guess to me that's, like, I don't know, a little generic. And then I guess I think I was struggling with this song. Because I just didn't understand why it was so mean. Like, how some of the things in the lyrics, I was just like, why would you say this about someone? I don't know. But maybe, I mean, you said that maybe you feel differently when you see it live. I don't know if I'll feel differently, but maybe if I see it live, I can give my thoughts on what it was like seeing it live if they performed this live. Because I was just listening to it like, why are you so mean? It's like this song and the next song. I was just like, I don't even know. Like, but it could be, like you said, they were like maybe they secretly still want the person and they're just saying whatever to like get out their like feelings or whatever. I don't know. It's silly. But maybe that's what it is. So, I mean, the only lyric that stood out to me was when he said, oh, you're giving me a tummy ache. Oh, no, it ain't better than a heartache. Just the look and sound of you making me nauseous. And I was just like, this is just so mean. For what? Like, I don't know. It almost borders on, like, being childish. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just can't imagine telling someone, like, just looking at you and listening to you is making me nauseous. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I feel like I would just feel so bad. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to talk to the person again. So, yeah, maybe he's just being petty. That's all I was going to say about this.
Also, what I didn't say before, it also gave me, like, I want to say it reminds me of lyrics I would hear, like, back in the, like, early 2000s or something.
Yeah.
Like, with, like, that old, not, I would almost say old school rock. It is not old school rock, but, like, that 2000s rock.
Like, punk rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I just, yeah, I don't know how I feel about this song, to be honest with you.
Maybe that's also why I'm like, I don't know about this song. Because maybe that's what it is. Maybe I agree with you. Because I feel like this is something I would probably, lyrics that I would like. Like, they're a little corny.
Yeah. Maybe
that's what it is. They're corny. And I'm just like, yeah, this feels like something that, like, an early 2000s, like, guy punk rock group would sing. And maybe that's mm-hmm. the vibe they're going for. Because I kind of felt this about the next song. Mm-hmm. Not the next song, sorry. I think the song after the next song. But anyways, when we get to it, I'll talk about it. But yeah, maybe that's what it is. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. When you listen to the album in a whole, I'm just kind of confused why the song is even here. But I mean, I'm pretty sure somebody out there really loves this song, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know, for some reason it just doesn't flow well. And or maybe that's what it's supposed to be, like, maybe it's supposed to serve that purpose, because, like, the next song is Back to Me, and let me just introduce that song and then I'll come back to my thought. Okay. So the next song is Back to Me, which was one of their other pre-release songs, and basically what I was gonna say was, to me, like, Back to Me is telling a story of a person who just, like, messed up in the relationship, but their partner's just done. And so what I was going to say was, with Nauseous, I wonder if, like, you know, I wonder if, oh my God, could they be talking about themselves in Nauseous? Like, they've messed up so much, like, they're sick of themselves, because in Back to Me, it's like they can do all these wrong things, but, like, they can't get that person to come back to them. Or maybe they're just trying to pretend to be bitter because they're actually heartbroken and nauseous. Like, and I'm talking about in Nauseous. Like, they're, like, bitter about it. And so they're just trying to be as mean as possible to make them forget about how heartbroken they are about the person leaving. I don't know. I feel like I just made it so complicated for no reason. And Nauseous just might be a Nauseous song. And the lyrics probably just mean what they're supposed to mean. And I'm thinking too deep into it. But yeah, okay. Anyways, focusing on Back to Me. When I first heard the song, I couldn't stop listening to it. When it first came out, it actually was one of my K-Music picks of the week. I absolutely love this song. And I cannot wait to hear this live. It's going to be so good. And I can't wait to scream my head off at the concert singing the song. So again, I'm sorry, Melissa, in advance. But two lyrics that stick out to me is, the first one is, instead of pulling my weight, I'm always pushing my luck. I feel like he say, instead of putting the effort that I needed to within the relationship, I was just, like, doing the bare minimum and hoping that, like, that was enough just to, like, keep it going. And maybe, like, the person was okay with the bare minimum at first, and like, maybe they were just, like, waiting for, and then, like, the rose. I'm gonna say they, when I say they, I'm talking about the rose. I don't really know who's singing that song, but okay, the rose or the guy in this is, like, basically, like, just, like, keep pushing it. Like, they know at some point the bare minimum is not going to be enough for this person anymore, but they just kind of keep pushing it, and so they're, like, pushing their luck. And then the second lyric that stuck out is just, like, the whole chorus. I'm not gonna, like, read through the whole chorus, so, like, go listen to the song if you want to hear it. But I think this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, is that they can do all the bad things and they can do all the bad things that will make their partner unhappy and make their relationship not work, but they will not do what makes their partner happy. So they can't be together. And so because they can't be together and they're, like, incapable almost of doing anything right, he cannot, like, make it seem like he's worthy for that person to come back to them. So, yes, that is what stuck out to me in this song. And I feel like my thoughts were all over the place, so I'm really sorry, guys. But, Melissa, what are your thoughts?
So, this was the song that I was talking about that, like, I thought also has the 2000s, like, type of vibe. I thought it was the song after this, but it was this one. Well, actually, I wanted to, like, I feel like I was kind of understanding what you were saying about how the last song and this song are probably kind of linked, to each other. I definitely think, well, I don't know. I guess I thought this was about, I thought this was about a guy who was like kind of like toxic, but like someone who's like self-aware that they're toxic, which is, mm-hmm. I think basically what you were saying, how the other person, like they thought they could get by with the bare minimum of the other person, like, is saying, like, you know, no anymore. So not anymore, I mean. But I don't know. I wish, maybe this would probably be like an overall thought actually, but I wish I could, like, I would have watched, I don't know if they have anything about behind the scenes or anything, but like, because I feel like there is like a reason why they did Nauseous and then this song, because they are like kind of have similar concepts. So I don't know, but I mean, just listening to the song like as a standalone, it just feels like someone who's like toxic but is self-aware that they're toxic, and like at least that's good, is what I thought. At least they know. The lyrics that stood out to me were, I like combined two. Well, two of the chorus, I don't know if they were they choruses, I don't know, but one part they say, now I'm the rain over your parade, and later on they say, now I'm the cloud to your sunny days. And I just thought that, you know, these are like pretty common phrases, and so I wasn't sure if they were like being sarcastic, which was kind of like what I was saying in the last one, like maybe they're just being petty, like, oh, I'm the rain over your parade, I don't know. Or if he actually is just self-aware that they're just no good for the other person. And then the other lyric, where they said, I could make you say things you don't mean. And I was like, okay, so he knows he's like gaslighting the other person. So I don't know. The song itself was okay. Like I said, did I say that? I don't know if I said that. They said about the last one. It's a bit more catchy than the last one, I would say, but it still gave me like an early 2000s kind of feel. But I also thought maybe that was also partially because of the lyrics, because I feel like the lyrics were kind of like, not all of them, but like some of them were just kind of like, is this supposed to be like a serious lyric? I don't know. Maybe that's mean. Hopefully that's not mean. But I mean, it just gave me like early 2000s vibes. And maybe for some people that's like nostalgic for them. It wasn't really for me, but maybe it is for some people. That's all I was gonna say.
I think it's interesting that you got gaslighting from that line. Because when I listened to it, I thought it was more so like he was saying that like he might have upset the person so much that like maybe they were like, I hate you, but really they like really love them, but then they're like, but I hate you so much. But I mean, I can see the flip side. Like, this song is not low key, it has high key toxic. So I can see how you got gaslighting from it. It didn't even dawn on me that that was it.
It could be what you said too, but I don't know why it went to the gaslighting route. I guess because the other lyrics were like, oh, I know I'm no good for you. And then so when this lyric came up, I was like, it made it seem like he was making her say things. Oh, I don't know. I guess they were making them say things that like, okay, now I say, once you say it out loud, I'm like, oh no, is that wrong?
No, I get it. Like, you, like, they were trying, like, really, they wanted to be like, I'm so done with you. But because, like, maybe he was talking sweet nothings or, like, making promises, she was like, okay, actually, I really want to be with you. But, like, that's not true at all. Wait, is that gaslighting? That is
gaslighting. I think so.
That is gaslighting. Or like, making her like sound crazy, or making it seem like her feelings aren't valid and like she's crazy for thinking that, so really she's probably really about to be like, oh, I'm so done with you, so bleh. But really he like convinced her that it's like, he's probably like, no, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's what I thought, because the way that he kept saying, like, over and over, like, I know that that I'm bad for you, and I know that you shouldn't be with me. And so in my head, I'm like, well, why is she still with him if he knows, like, all of this stuff, like, that he's no good for her? So, yeah. I think I'm just going to go with what you said. Yeah. And I think that's why when I was reading it, I was like, yeah, this sounds like he's gaslighting her. Like, why you know you're, like, all of these things are, like, you're not, like, you guys are, like, not good together. But for some reason, she's still with you. And so, I don't know, maybe that's where I got it from. Or it's been, like, a surface level reaction, and maybe he's not gaslighting her, but I don't know.
Who knows? It's our interpretation.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're just going to talk about the Back to Me music video. This was another video that I thought was simple. Honestly, I think all their videos are low-key simple. But okay, this one was simple, and I think they were just, like, rocking out as a band. Yeah, they were, like, under a bridge or, like, in the middle of the street or something?
Yeah.
And it was just shot from different angles, so it was too much going on visually. You were just watching them sing. So yeah, what were your thoughts, Melissa?
I mean, I agree. It was pretty simple. You know, I guess maybe this is just you know, one that this is kind of like a, I was wondering if this was like a preview to what we'll see, you know, when we see them at the actual concert. You know, just them, you know, rocking out to their song, you know, having fun, you know, no frills, you know, that's what it's reminding me of, like, real raw, you know, rock and roll. So maybe that's what they were going for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, being on the street, or I don't know if it was, they're under a bridge or just on the street. It's a little grimy, you know, because rock can be grimy sometimes. Oh, that's what I thought when I was watching it. And then they were, like, real aggressive with it.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, it was just, they're true rock and rollers. That's what I got from this.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to the last song that we are going to review today. But not the last one on the album. The next one is called Lifeline. To me, the message of the song, it's just like of a person offering reassurance, support, comfort to someone going through something, and I just feel like it's really laced throughout the song, and it kind of reminds me of She's in the Rain, like the message in that song, but it's not as sad. Like, this one sounds a little more hopeful, but She's in the Rain, like, had like a very sad undertone. I mean, it makes sense, but like this one just felt a little more hopeful, like I said. And there's two lyrics that stuck out to me. The first one is, okay, so the first one has like a lot of words that repeat, and I'm not going to repeat the words, I'm just going to like say them once. So the first one is, you know, I could be your lifeline, you don't gotta hurt, baby, if the world is coming down, I won't let you drown, even if you start to lose your hold, I won't let you go, no, you know I could be your lifeline. And I just really love this, because it felt like he was basically just saying, even when everything seems to be falling apart, or the person's facing challenges, it's like the rose is promising to be there to prevent them from feeling overwhelmed, or like feel like they're drowning in their problems. And even when the person is starting to lose hope, or like wants to give up, like they won't let them. And I don't know, I think this part is what really reminded me of She's in the Rain, because they literally in there says, they say, oh, what's the line? Wait, I got it. I don't know. Okay, well, they I can't remember. I think it's like, I'll hold you, or, and, oh God, I can't believe it. Because right now, all that's playing in my mind is We're in the Rain, which is like kind of also like saying, I'll be there with you. Oh, it's better to be held than holding on. That's what I was thinking about when I was like, you know, prevent them from drowning. But also We're in the Rain, like saying like they're also going to be there. And this part of Lifeline where they're talking about like, even you start to lose hope, I won't let you go, just really like made me think of that. So yes, that was the first one. And then the second lyric that I like is, it's really more so like a recurring phrase. And if the phrase, the phrase that is reoccurring is, so pick anywhere you like. It's mentioned in the first verse, and they say we could run away to a paradise, so pick anywhere you like. And then again in the second verse where they say, but there's a better life on the other side, so pick anywhere you like. And I feel like it's them saying, like, it's like they're saying you are in control of your life. You can choose where you want to go, where you want to be, who you want to be. And even with all the external circumstances and pressures, like, you got this. And yeah, so those are the two lyrics that stuck out to me. I just really like this song in terms of, like, I don't know, I just feel like The Rose always has one song that's, like, saying, like, I got you, we got each other kind of thing. And this is one of those songs. Now, I will say, I think it's kind of weird, the placement of it. I feel like maybe it could have gone after Dusk, because I feel like that's when they slowly start going into what I would say, like, the softer version or the softer half of the album. Like, I don't know how to really explain it. I just feel like there's definitely two vibes going on in this album. So I just feel like it just could have been moved just down, just down to the second half, because I don't know, there's just something about them going from, like, this very, like, toxic mindset for the two songs that come before Lifeline and then going into this one. So yeah, Melissa, what were your thoughts?
It's so funny that you thought that this reminded you of She's in the Rain, because it reminded me of She's in the Rain too. Just because you said there's lyrics and, like, the themes are really similar. But yeah, because I also thought this was, like, a more modern version, or, like, a new version of, like, She's in the Rain. Yeah, I think just in general, this song is really pretty. It's kind of EDM, sort of. This song definitely reminded me of, like, something that would come out in, like, the mid-2010s. I don't know if they did this on purpose, but, like, I feel like this first half, it sounds very, I don't want to say dated, but, like, kind of? I don't know. Besides You're Beautiful, I don't know. The other songs are kind of like, were they going for, like, a nostalgia type of vibe or something? I don't know. It was just, it was interesting. So, because I feel like this is something that I would have heard, like, in 2015 or something. Which is fine. I mean, I guess it's still a really nice song. The lyrics are really pretty, which is what I loved about it anyways. So yeah, the lyrics that stood, one of the lyrics that stood out to me is actually the same one that you picked. And I feel like this is just the vibe of the whole song. Like you said, like, I just like which is basically the, you don't gotta hurt, baby, if the world's coming down, I won't let you drown. If you start to lose your hold, I won't let you go, no. And that whole, basically, I guess this is the chorus, right? But yeah, like, I just, you know, like you said, you know, I just like the reassuring words, and I thought that the echoing of, like, the voice, it almost made it feel like it was kind of like, it makes this song feel kind of dreamlike, and, like, I don't know, I just really like, I don't know, it just made me feel like this is a song that you, like, listen to when, like, you're really, like, down and out or whatever, you're just not feeling great. And it just can, like, transports you to, like, this, like, dreamlike kind of state. But I mean, in general, I think I was basically just gonna say the same thing of what you were saying, that, like, I mean, it's just this whole song is basically about them reassuring that they're all gonna be there for, I don't know, us, the fans. I don't know. And that's probably why the vibes were so similar to She's in the Rain, and it felt like a very like The Rose kind of song. But I did want to say, I didn't think about this, like, when I was, like, listening to it, but, like, I agree that it is an odd placement, because, yeah, right before, well, Yeah, right before this one and the one before that, they're pretty aggressive. Those two songs are pretty aggressive. Like, yeah. Back to Me and Nauseous. And I'm just like, I agree that it probably should have been, like, after the second instrumental. I don't know. It's interesting. This is just an interesting placement for a song. That's all I was gonna say. It's just interesting. Is there anything else you wanted to say about these songs?
I just think it's funny that you and I both thought it sounded like Lifeline. It sounded like She's in the Rain. Because immediately when I heard it, I was like, oh, this is like She's in the Rain. Oh, we needed a song like this. But yeah, that's all I had.
Okay. Well, so this is going to be the end of part one of our deep dive into the Roses duel. So if you have any thoughts about what we've talked about so far in this episode, you can let us know on our social media platforms, which will be in the description. And part two of our review will be coming out in a couple weeks. Stay tuned for that. And thanks so much for listening. And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks to finish talking about the Rose.